Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's our hosts are me, Garrett Vincent.
Me, Jaden Losey, formerly of Laytonville High School.
And me, Shivan Patel from Wilts High School.
Today our topic is racism in a post-racial America. Post-racial America is a theoretical environment where the United States is devoid of racial preference, discrimination, and prejudice. Some Americans believe that the election of Barack Obama as president and wider acceptance of interracial marriage signified that the nation had become post-racial.
As we all looked into the swearing-in of the first African-American president into office, the idea was that America was willing to put its ugly past behind and move forward into a post-racial society, becoming a more racially tolerant nation. Despite this idea of a post-racial society, race and racism continue to be alive and well in America, and the fact that we are not living in a post-racial era continues to be a major disappointment in our country. One of the underlying problems is that most Americans, but particularly millennials, have a very confined view of what racism is. Americans think of racism as Bull Connor or the Ku Klux Klan, but today racism is far more to be likely embedded in our institutions. Modern racism isn't cross-burning, though this still happens. Silent and not overt segregation exists in our school systems, employment, poverty, healthcare, prison system, immigrant communities, and other sectors of society. And while the Ferguson Police Department certainly contained racists, the more perverse problem was the systematic discriminatory method of policing that focuses on people of color.
Black Lives Matter is an activist movement in the United States that began in the wake of July 2013 acquittal of George Zimmerman and the Florida shooting death of African-American teen Trayvon Martin. The Black Lives Matter movement campaigns against what it calls police brutality in the United States against African-Americans. The group received fresh impetus from the 2014 deaths of two unarmed African-Americans, teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and 43-year-old Eric Garner in New York City. In both cases, the grand jury did not indict the officers and no charges were brought. Several unarmed African-Americans who died at the hands of law enforcement have had their deaths protested by the movement, including Tamir Rice, Eric Harris, Walter Scott, and Freddie Gray, whose death sparked the 2015 Baltimore protests. Numerous media organizations have referred to it as a new civil rights movement. A number of white Americans have responded to the phrase Black Lives Matter by insisting that all lives matter. In the last week, Republican candidates have launched attacks on Black Lives Matter. Scott Walker and Ted Cruz have cited the group as evidence of a new anti-police culture created by President Barack Obama, they say, that has endangered the lives of law enforcement officers. The goal is to cast the phrase Black Lives Matter as an inflammatory or even hateful anti-white expression that has no legitimate place in a civil rights campaign.
The Black Lives Matter movement focuses on the fact that black citizens have long been far more likely than whites to die at the hands of the police. They are not asserting that black lives are more precious than white lives. They are underlying an undisputable fact that the lives of black citizens in this country, historically, have not mattered and have been discounted and devalued. There has been much controversy about Confederate flags this year. Many believe that they merely symbolize history and a heritage in the South. Others see the flags as a provocative symbol of racism. The flags have been removed in some areas following a racist massacre in South Carolina. There is currently much contention about the appropriateness of Confederate symbols in Southern schools.
Our communities have less racial diversity than the United States average. Mendocino County is between 76% and 83% white, depending on how races are defined. Perhaps this makes us less aware of racial conflict in America, as in out of sight, out of mind. Many of us would define ourselves as colorblind. That would be success in striving towards a post-racial America. The question is, are we there yet? We are going to discuss these ideas for about 30 minutes, and then open the phone line so that you can join in the conversation. Our goal is to increase dialogue and awareness between the various age groups in our region. Our phone number will be 707-456-9991. We'll ask for your calls in about 30 minutes.
Let's start by going around and describing our experiences of racial diversity in Mendocino County.
Chivo?
All right, well, I know in Willits High School, we have about half white people and about half, I'd say, Mexicans and Native Americans, and then a few Asians in there. And I'd say our school's kind of diverse, but there can't seem, I don't seem to find a lot of racism going on.
Yeah, I mean, we're semi-diverse for being such a small town, but I mean, like, when you think about it, we only have one African-American person in the school, I think, maybe two.
Yeah, it was the same way at Laytonville. There was only one black guy, and, you know, nobody was really friends with him. He was introverted, but he could have been friends with people. You know, I mean, I was as introverted as he was, and I had friends. People, they kind of avoided him. Even though nobody was overtly racist, it was, you know, race was definitely an issue.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. Our school is interesting because sometimes it's not racism that you see. It's like you can just tell inside that person that there may be an underlying hatred for a different race. And that's kind of like upsetting to see. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that just hang out with whoever. It doesn't matter what color they are. But at the same time, it's kind of weird. Like, Shivam, have you ever been like racially discriminated against?
Well, I don't think I've been discriminated against, but I mean, me and my friends joke around with each other, and I've gotten Indian jokes, but I never take them personally because I know there's not a true hatred towards the race.
Yeah, sure.
They're met in good humor, you know.
Yeah. Have you ever been like discriminated against outside of school, like?
I know my family has. Every time my dad goes to the airport, he gets the random security checks.
No.
And I know a few people that have come in to my family runs a motel. A few people that have come into the motel have seen my dad and noticed that he's a Patel, and they comment on it and leave.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's awful. Oh, God, that's so awful. Yeah, I'm white. I'm pretty white. And I lived in Willits all my life, and so, like, I've never really been discriminated against with my color of skin. I've been discriminated with other things like age and stuff like that, but I feel like every teenager's discriminated against in that manner. But yeah, personally, I've never been discriminated against for being white. I mean, my friends will like joke around and say there's no good white jokes, and it's kind of true. But yeah, I've never personally had it happen. What about you, Jaden?
I went to North Tahoe High School, and there was a rather sizable Hispanic community there. And I remember there was this one incident where I felt slightly discriminated against. I was it wasn't really that big a deal. I wouldn't really call it discrimination, but you know, I felt aware of, you know, the massive disparity between, you know, my culture and their culture, which is obvious in all other aspects. They're removed from, you know, the other white kids, and they hang out by themselves. Anyway, I was walking past, you know, a few guys hanging out next to the lockers, and they, you know, they were just looking at me in a very confrontational manner, I'd say. And, you know, I kept walking, and I didn't want to look at them because, you know, I felt so out of place in their little miniature world of where they were. And I don't know, that's all I can really think of as far as discrimination against myself for being white.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you've been to India, right, Shivam?
Yeah.
So, like, I've never been there at all. Is there, like, a diverse culture there? Or is
honestly,
it...
there really isn't. They're pretty much all Indian besides the tourists.
Yeah.
But they're really trying to incorporate English in there. And in their school system, there's a lot of what they call English medium schools, where the schools are based around speaking English, and they teach the other languages as secondary languages.
Were you treated differently because you weren't from India?
I was, actually. Oh, I went to a boarding school over there, and there were a few other kids like me that were from America, and so we were all like put into like our own little group, and we were the only ones that hung out with each other.
Oh, wow.
And the other kids just looked at us like we were outsiders.
That's crazy. So even though you're all
the same you're
all,
race.
You're all the same race. There's still a discrimination. And I've seen that with Hispanic communities, too. Like, if you're born in America, you're definitely treated different than people that have come from, like, that culture, you know?
Yeah.
And, that's really crazy to hear, honestly. It's insane.
I've seen that in white communities, too. And in Tahoe, there was an Australian family that came over, and, you know, they integrated really well, but it was kind of like the opposite of what happened to, I forgot your name again.
Garrett.
No.
Shivam.
Shivam, that's it. Yeah, okay. They were like, they were treated as a novelty, and like everybody wanted to be their friend because they had accents and they knew about kangaroos and stuff.
Oh, I've actually seen that too. For some reason, people love British accents.
Yeah.
And like, especially with theater, I've done a lot of theater, and if you have a British accent or you can do a British accent, almost all the time they'll be like, okay, do this line, but do it with a British accent. And then it's just like, I don't know what it is, but I've seen it happen all the time, and it's kind of funny, because I'll see people like get roles just because they can do that accent.
Yeah, and in all the other areas, they're just totally bad.
Yeah, it's interesting. So a lot of people think that with Barack Obama getting elected, that kind of made America not racist. Like, what do you guys have to say about that?
I don't really agree with that. I feel like they made it way more big of a deal than it should have been. Just, you know, the fact that he's black made it such a big deal, but I feel like hopefully we can get to a part in society where it won't be a big deal anymore, and it's just another person being elected.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I really feel like everyone's reaction to Obama's election was perfect proof of the fact that we're not living in a post-racial America, because his race was basically the only thing that would come up in conversation. That was it.
That's really true, especially when he was the first elected. Didn't happen so much the other time, but definitely when he was first elected, that's all they were talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what? It's gonna be so weird to have a black president, and we're so good at racism. Like, racism doesn't exist anymore. I voted for Obama, like stuff like that, and it's just like that.
The whole change campaign.
Yeah, like that's not really it. And even with that, him being elected, it didn't really. I honestly don't think it signified anything. Like, the fact that I don't know. I just don't think it really. It didn't really change much. I thought it was really cool that he got in, but like, I think it brings us one step closer to where we need to be. But at the same time, I agree with you that like, it shouldn't have been that big of a deal. Like, it would have been better if no one said anything about it.
Exactly.
And just went with his policies instead of his skin color.
His policies were awful, by the way.
I disagree, but...
Well, when he was, you know, on his campaign before he got elected, it was awesome. And then, oh, we're going to send more troops to Iraq, more drones. Yeah.
Yeah, but that happens with every president.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Just another one.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of the Black Lives Matter campaign?
I feel like it's a very organic and understandable reaction from a minority group that's felt like they've been very oppressed and discriminated against by the police force, and you know, a lot of black people have been killed by police officers just because they were black, and there's obviously going to be, you know, there's been tension building up from that for a while, and now it's finally being represented in a full-on campaign.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a great answer, Shiva.
I get what Jaden's saying, but I agree with kind of like the All Lives Matter thing, where I understand that a lot of the black people have been wronged, but by them creating this thing that they're doing, they're separating themselves more.
Yeah.
And I feel that instead everyone should just be equal.
Yeah. I agree with the whole equal thing, but I read this article about Black Lives Matter, and it's not so much saying that only Black Lives Matter, it's saying that Black Lives Matter as well. Like,
yeah.
it's not like, oh, we matter more just because cops are killing us. We matter in general. Like, don't count us out, you know? Like, that's basically what it was saying. But, oh, yeah, definitely agree with the everyone should be equal.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
The thing about the police is, I don't know if you guys, like, you guys might not agree with me, but I feel, yeah, there have been all these stories about black kids getting killed by white cops, but I feel like they wouldn't be as big of stories if it was the other way around.
Absolutely.
If a black cop killed a white kid, and the reason, like, they're making these stories a big deal are because the kid's black and the cop is white, so they're calling it a hate crime. And also, I feel that, yeah, there are a few racists in the law enforcement, but those few bad people are ruining it for all the good people that are in law enforcement.
I mean, white people get killed by white cops, too. We just don't hear about it because the media loves the sensational stories. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, white-on-black crime is, you know, very popular.
But do you think that if Michael Brown was white, what do you think would have happened to the police?
Oh, the police, definitely.
They would have been indicted and...
Absolutely.
...charged as murderers, but instead they got off just because...
Because everything's saturated in racism.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I see it. Like, if the races were flipped, I don't think it would have been as big of a story, except for police indicted for... Oh, for murder and stuff like that. That's kind of how I see it.
If the cop was black and he was white, it would have been a big story too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
All focused on how, you know, the cop got a life sentence, and we're all so happy about that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it would be. So like one of the things that bugs me a lot is when So we'll be talking about one of these cases and be like, oh, well, he was shot, but he ran away from the police. And then I just think, so running away from the police automatically gives you the death sentence, like, right there on the spot. Like, if someone has drugs on them and they get stopped by the cops, they're gonna go to court for it and do all that. But these people, like... Even if they didn't have drugs on them, even if they're doing nothing, like going to the store, they were shot for no reason. And like, it's just sad to hear when someone's like, well, they were committing a crime. Like, well, okay, that doesn't mean they deserve to die. Like,
yeah.
That's super awful.
I get what you're saying, Garrett.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I also feel bad for a lot of the good officers out there because they're getting the bad end of it because, you know, everybody's blaming them when it was the bad cops.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely. Like, there's definitely good cops out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing what cops are supposed to do, you know, protecting and serving the people.
Yeah,
instead
exactly.
of killing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially our cops. I love our Willits PD. They're a bunch of nice people.
Oh, yeah, they're nice.
So, do you think that there is okay racial profiling, like do you think sometimes it could be racial profiling is justified?
I feel like if you're not harming the other person in any way, physically or mentally, and there's no true hate in that, in your profiling, I don't think it should be that wrong, because you identify different people by how they are, and race comes into that identification. Kind of like, you know, I know it sounds kind of messed up, but if you see a black person walking towards you, you might tense up a little bit. But it depends on also the time. So like if you're in Oakland or something in the ghetto part of the neighborhood, maybe you're not going to be racist to get about it, but you're going to be careful.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Especially people's past history.
Yeah.
It comes back to, and if you've grown up in a place that is sort of like Willits, like, my family's been here forever, and so it's like I've never really gone out and seen like different places. Like I've been to Oakland, I've been to San Francisco, and stuff like that. And it still is like it's interesting for me to see a whole bunch of different races. Like, it's kind of like, it's really interesting for me to see just all different kinds of people, like, just walking around. Like, when here I see a black person, I'm like, oh, that's a black person that I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's like, whoa.
Like, I know every black person in this town. Like, that's crazy. Like, where did they come from? And so it's interesting. Do you think that non-white Americans are treated differently by police?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's evident in the way they kill the non-white people when they're doing very innocent things.
Yeah. I actually have a story about this.
Awesome.
I have two friends. One is Hispanic, and he's half Hispanic, half black, and he's very dark. And I have another friend who's super, super white, very pasty white. And they did a test in Oakland. They'd walk down the street, and they both had sweaters on with hoods on them. And so as soon as a cop would walk by, they'd put up the hood. And the cop stopped for both of them, and they asked my white friend, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Just going to the store." They're like, "Okay, have a good night." And they stopped my Mexican black friend, and they're like, "Where are you going?" He's like, "Oh, to the store." I'm like, "What's your name?" I told him his name. I'm like, "Where do you live?" And he's like, "What?" And he's like, will you put your hands on the vehicle?" And he's like, "Am I being detained?" And they're like, "No." And he's like, "Am I free to go?" "Yeah." "Okay." And he just walked away. But the thing is, if someone didn't know their rights as well as he did, they would have just went with it, and they would have been, the cops would have been able to do whatever they wanted, and they could have done anything. And that's like a really scary thing to think about. Especially if you are a minority, it's some scary stuff.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I also think it depends on the area, because I've been pulled over, and obviously I'm not white.
Yeah.
But the cop was actually a really nice guy. He was a white guy, and he was actually really nice and treated me. I felt just the same as everybody else.
So. Yeah, for sure.
It really is up to the cop, you know. He can basically, he's out there and he has all this perceived power, and he's going to do whatever he wants with it, you know?
Yeah, I've met a lot of really nice cops, and I've also met a lot of really not nice cops.
Yeah.
And most of it's, it didn't come from any racial thing. It mainly just came because I'm a teenager, and I'm obviously doing illegal stuff because I'm a teenager. Like, that's, I don't know, that seems to be the motto for everyone. So where do you guys think that racial prejudice come from?
Honestly, it's how you grew up, I guess. I'm pretty sure it's just the family that you're born into.
And yeah, I totally agree with that.
I think it's in the media, too. I mean,
definitely.
If you're watching, you know, your classic Fox News program, there's going to be all kinds of little subliminal things that are just, you know, it's humming with racial prejudice.
Oh, yeah. Fox News is a great comedy show. Yeah, I agree with both of you that it comes from both families and media for sure, especially nowadays. What do you guys think about the Confederate flag?
Honestly, I don't really have any opinions about it. For me, it's just a flag, but I understand how it can be racist towards black people and if portrayed in a certain way. I don't really know enough about it to speak strongly about it.
Yeah,
I don't really have any opinions on it either, but I went to Florida over the summer, and they were in the middle of that whole process of taking the flags down, and there was a lot of people that were really opposed to it, and they were like going on protests, and you know, we want our flags, it's part of our heritage. You know,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. I heard an argument because I strongly dislike the Confederate flag, and I heard an argument that was, well, it's all about how you perceive it. And she's like, I perceive it as this certain way that she said that wasn't they didn't have anything to do with racism, and it was a really good way to perceive it. But at the same time, if she has a Confederate flag shirt on and she's walking down the street, and someone sees that doesn't perceive it the way she does, you're gonna offend some people. Like, if I wear a hammer and sickle and I perceive it as differently, you're gonna think that I'm someone walking down the street might think that I'm a communist and I'm a traitor and all those things. But I strongly dislike the Confederate flag. I honestly feel it's just as bad as a swastika.
How do you feel about the people through our town driving around with them on the back of their trucks?
Oh, yeah, that's always interesting to see, especially when you know them. I don't know. I feel like they don't... I honestly don't think that they are racist. They're either just going against what everyone tells them, or they're doing it out of just lack of knowledge. You know, like, they just don't really know what it means.
You know these people, right? Are they, like, super into Southern culture or something? Are they rednecks, to say, you know?
I don't know. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. I'm friends with them, but it's like, yeah, I guess you could say they're hick-ish.
I see.
But I wouldn't say that they're super redneck or love the South. Or, I mean, they live in Willits.
Yeah.
They live in California.
But, like, maybe that's why they like the Confederate flag. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that it's, like, a family thing. Like, it goes back to they were raised around that culture, and so they believe strongly in that culture. And that goes against just everyone. Like, I was raised around saving the redwoods and trees are life and stuff like that. So that's automatically how I think. I mean, everyone develops their own, like, thoughts, but at the same time, it's strongly based on your parents.
Yeah, and the whole culture that's around you, that's just bombarding you and impinging on you from the moment you're born.
So, this goes back to Shiva, and actually goes for everyone here. Have you ever been intimidated because of your race?
Because, like, of my race?
Yeah.
Like, intimidated how?
Like any type of threatening, or, like, has anyone yelled at you, like, racial slurs or anything like that?
Not really, just besides the time that I told you about, you know, someone walks in and sees my dad being Indian, and he says stuff like, oh, another Indian owning a hotel, and, like, I don't want to stay at your people's stuff.
Oh, God, it's just awful.
Yeah, it's so, it's bad. Like, go down to the next hotel next door. They'll be Indian too. Have fun finding one. So.
That's hilarious. What about you, Jaden?
Just the incident I told you about earlier. I got mad dogged.
Mad dogged. anything else?
I mean, in India, I did feel like face some intimidation, because when we go to India, we're what we call NRIs. Non-residential Indians, so, like, someone from America going to India, and so people would look at us like we're outsiders, like I said, and there were kids that were, like, you know, giving me threats and stuff, and, like, thinking I was stuck up because I was from America and all that stuff, because they're from the slums and stuff like that.
Actually, the only time that I was looked at differently was I went to Texas. And I was on an Air Force base, and I was the only one with long hair, and I was wearing, like, street clothes, like, I wasn't all dressed up or how they were, and it was really interesting to get looked at like that. I mean, I walk down the street and I get looked at that anyways, because I dress weird however I want to, and but it was weird just to watch someone just, like, profile me to the point of where it's like,
you're not even human.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you're really awkwardly staring at me. Like, I can tell, and it's starting to freak me out. Like, and it was just really interesting to, like, have that experience. It's like, oh, this is what they mean when they say profiling. Like, that's really awful. So what do you guys think society could do to, like, reduce racism?
Well, they could do kind of like an advertising campaign similar to the anti-smoking ads in the 90s. I was just kind of thinking about that. Like, you know, there's not very much you can do to change public consciousness other than that a little bit. I mean, you know, there's ways like that. But yeah, what do you guys think?
I think lots of small subliminal messages.
Yeah.
How we do with everything. Just put it in something else so you don't really see it at first, and then you look a little harder, and then you're like, oh, that's what they mean. And I really think that, like, we need to start really going at it in schools. Like, I know we talk about, like, slavery and stuff like that in our history class, but we really don't talk about, like, racism now, you know? Like, I've personally in school, I've never talked about racism in this century. Like, it's super weird even being on here to talk about it.
Yeah, but
I've never really talked about it.
I feel like the more we talk about it, the more we're, like, the more it's there.
Yeah, I could see that.
I feel like to really get rid of it, there shouldn't even be anything.
A discussion.
Yeah, there should, not just a discussion, but there shouldn't really be racism in general. Like, there shouldn't be that name, there shouldn't be anything. Like, when you see somebody, you shouldn't think, oh, what color are they? You should just, everybody should be seen as, you know, flesh
and blood. No, I totally agree with you. That's usually the standpoint I take on almost anything that has to do with civil rights.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even matter. We should just all be okay with each other.
So in Texas, they're removing slavery from, like, the middle school. Oh.
No.
What? Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
From the middle school textbooks. And they're just referring it to, you know, they're just changing it. They're calling the blacks, you know, immigrant workers. They're just workers. They weren't slaves. They were equating them to the indentured white servants, and, like, they're all the same, you know? So what do you guys think about that?
Well, no, that's wrong. They're just telling it how it is.
That's just like misinformation. That's just not even a thing. That's just
1984.
That's, like, just wrong.
Changing what happened.
Yeah, it's like, I know, it's funny when you read textbooks and you're like, whoa, this is from a long time ago. Like, I had this math book, and it was talking about the election, and in the election, you were trying to, like, subtract, like, the votes and stuff like that. It was just, like, a little side thing that's like, have fun, do this.
Yeah.
And it had a really weird question, because it was, I think it was the second election when George Bush won, and he didn't have the popular vote. I could be mistaken, but... And then, I don't remember who ran. I was young. The other guy had more popular votes, and then you're like... The question was, why did George Bush win? And it's like, what? Like, that... Like, there... It wasn't even a question, because you can't possibly answer
math,
it. Yeah, it had nothing to do with math, and it's like, whoa... This is, like, a really heavy question in this math book.
You're just sitting there, head in your hands, like, what?
Yeah, it was super insane.
So, anyways, why do you guys think there are so few African Americans in Mendocino County?
Just the simple precedent of there's always been white people here? I don't know.
I honestly have no idea. I mean, like, I have no... Maybe because, like, we have rodeos all the time, and it's, like, very, I don't want to say redneck, but it's very redneck. And I mean, that's the only thing I could see. Like, it's very boring here, but it all depends on, like, what you like, I guess.
I guess there wasn't slavery here at any point, because this area was so depopulated until rather recently, like, early 1900s, right? Like, that's when people started, like, really coming in here. So, I guess...
Yeah,
like, in the South, you know, there's all the black people that are left over from...
Slavery and stuff like that, and then just the generations after that.
Yeah.
That could be it, too. Like, I don't know. What do you think, Shubin?
I really don't know. I feel like, because when they get here, like you said, it's kind of, like, redneck area, and they don't... I feel like... They themselves don't feel comfortable being here.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, like, we don't have a high population of African Americans here. Like, as I said before, I can name almost everyone that permanently lives here. Like, and that's scary. Actually, the population is like 622 in all of Mendocino County. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And it's below 1%. Like, that's crazy how little African Americans there are.
I guess it's like, you know, you got the black guy in the South, and he wants to move, and he thinks of California, and he doesn't think of the northern half. He's like, I'm going to go to the southern half.
Yeah, like L.A. and Oakland and places like that, like, has a very high African-American population. I don't know why, but it does. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird to think about. Never really thought about it, honestly. I don't know. Maybe it's... Yeah, I'm not sure. So...
Is it that time?
Anyways, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about racism in post-racial America. Was the election of Barack Obama significant of a change in American race relations? 6 years after the election, does America seem less racist?
How would you define the difference between post-racist and post-racial and post-racist? Do you see yourself as colorblind? Does racism exist in Mendocino County? If so, where do you see it?
If you moved here from a different region, especially if you're black, how would you compare racial tensions between the regions? What do you think of the Black Lives Matter movement? What do you think of banning Confederate flags?
Are Native Americans, Latinos, and African Americans subject to racism in Mendocino County? If so, where does it happen? If you're a minority race in Mendocino County, do you feel that you are targeted by law enforcement? How can we as a community move toward a truly post-racial society?
The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn your radio down or else we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is, again, 456-9991.
Please, looks like we got a caller.
Please call and be a part of this discussion on racism in a post-racial America. We'd really like to hear from you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Number one, America is not a country. America is a continent. North America, South America, you live in the United States of America. So when you talk about the United States, it's good to say in the United States, because not all of America is the United States.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Now, I think this is the most important thing in the United States right now. I think that the United States places itself in the center of the world, and that's incorrect. We are part of the world. We are not the world. And it's easy to see. Not perhaps for a kindergartner, but by the time you get to be a senior, you have maps that you can look at, and you can see that the United States is just part of the world. It's not the entire world. So that perspective is important because, I'm sure you can figure it out.
I agree with you. I'm sorry.
There is such thing as race. There is no biological foundation for race. There is no genetic foundation for race. What we're talking about, those differences, that's called ethnicity, which refers to particular groups of people that share common ancestry, traditions, language, or dialect. So that word, racism, as one of you were saying, you know, that is a misnomer. That you don't even have to use that word and associate it with people.
Yeah, but it is a common word when you're talking about this topic.
And isn't that the use of language to simply communicate ideas?
I can't hear you. Sorry.
Oh, that is a common word when you're talking about this topic.
Oh, I know, but what I'm saying is that you need to learn a new language. What I'm saying is you do not need to use that word in the future because it has no foundation.
Thank you.
Okay, now, the term people of color, that you can get rid of. Never use it again because it's offensive. White is a color. So talking about people of color is dumb. There is no such thing as people of color. It's an offensive term, and it's just as if back in the 60s when they used to put signs on top of the water fountains, one for colored and one for white.
Did one of us use that phrase?
I think you did once, which was pretty good. Don't ever use that again. What we have been is conditioned. Our society has conditioned us that one group is prettier than another. And so that's how we've been separated.
You mean media-wise?
Yeah, media-wise.
Oh, I agree with you.
In our families, yeah, I can say mine too. And so we have to, you know, we have to tell ourselves, and that's a great question, thank you, because it leads me to say the following, which is, it's really difficult to get rid of that conditioning, but we can do it. And it's not overnight. You have to keep telling yourself, there I go again. No, that's not how I think anymore. No, that's not how I think anymore. No, that's not. It's like you have to reprogram yourself. And another thing is, you are young, and I think that Mr. Obama, or President Obama, somebody corrected me. I used to call him Mr. Obama, and they said, no, it's President Obama. So, and then I would send a message to the new director of education for the entire United States. You know, Arne Duncan stepped down, and now we're going to have John King Jr. And one message I would send to him is, perhaps we, as in the United States, should start focusing on educating our youth on this very important subject, because this is central to the United States. And if we do not change, this is more important than anything. This is the foundation of our country and how you are being educated and how you are going to be going out into the world. And it tears me apart to see that you're not leaving, let's say, school with a clean slate.
Well, you heard what I said when I said that this is the first time I've ever talked about racism in this century, and that it does need to be in school system.
Right, and you don't even have to use that word anymore. And I mean, I've talked for a long time already, and I didn't use any words that denote color, because I've made it a point to not. So it can be done. And I thank you so very much for listening.
Yep, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And our phone lines are open again, and the number is 456-9991. Love to hear from you and talk about racism. I don't know what else to say.
What was the word she gave us to use instead?
I don't remember.
Ethnicity.
Ethnicity. Talk about prejudices against ethnicity.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we want to know if racism exists in Mendocino County, what you think about the Confederate flag, anything. Just call us, please. So what she was saying is that our school system needs to, well, this is part of what she was saying. She said a lot, but that we need to be taught about what is right to say and what is wrong to say. I don't know what exactly she meant, because it's kind of hard to hear through these headphones. But what did you guys get out of that?
We should be saying United States.
Yeah.
I got that too.
Gotcha.
Yes. Because America includes South America and Mexico and all that. So when we say the United States, it refers to North America, and specifically that's what we're talking about. And that, you know, she's getting to a very fundamental fact that language defines our patterns of thought. And so we should modify our language, modify our thought.
Because when we were saying America, we all had the same understanding that we were talking about the United States.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with her on that one. Oh, caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, I'm not sure where to start. I guess I'll start with where I grew up,
which that is works.
A small town in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
No minorities at all, except for a few Native children in my school. Migrant workers that didn't go to our schools. And when a very famous baseball player, Willie Mays, came through town, he could not stay at the one hotel.
Oh, wow.
And later, a couple years later, Marian Anderson, another very famous opera singer, came through town. She could not stay at the hotel. So I was pretty much raised clueless by the culture in my town. However, my parents were very open-minded, very liberal, I guess you could say. So I was never taught that in my family, and I wasn't taught that in school, and I wasn't taught it at the little church that we went to. But when I went to New York City, actually before I went to New York City, I toured Japan with a folk singing group that was quite famous at the time. I just happened to join them. And we were loved on stage. But when I went out into the town, into Tokyo or wherever I was, the men did not accept women as equals. And I was a woman and I was blonde, and that made me even less equal. So I was pushed off, you know, pushed to a side, pushed here and there, not treated well. So that was my first real experience with being treated as a minority, you might say. Then I went to New York City and had a manager who was of African-American descent. I'm not sure how I can politically correctly say it, but he called himself a black man. He actually called himself a spade, which I know is not a good term now, but that's what he called himself, and that's what people called them in those days, people. Anyway, he could not go to auditions with us. We had some pretty high-powered auditions. This was later. I had left the group I was with and was singing with my sister, and he could not go to the auditions because of his color of his skin, the pigment of his skin. I won't say color. How's that?
And what was his occupation? I'm sorry.
He was a manager.
Oh, so he was a manager and he couldn't come to the auditions.
Yes, and he was an extraordinary man. He had been a paratrooper during the Korean War. Had survived 13 missions. He was one of only two black African American cultured. I'm going to say him, okay? They're just the words that we use.
Yeah, it's okay.
Mean anything bad. That's my point. Totally anyway, he was not allowed into the officers' club. He was one of two survivors of those missions during Korea, and then he played pro ball for the L.A. Rams for a short time, and then he became a manager. He knew Otis Redding and some very famous people that were not famous at the time, but he kind of started their careers and then went on. Anyway, he became a manager for my sister and myself, two white blonde girls from Appleton, Wisconsin. So seeing this was, of course, horrific all along. It was horrific. I remember as a child, when I was 11, my family went to Florida, and there were the colored fountains and the white fountains. And I guess it was mistakenly, I'm not sure, but I drank out of the colored fountain, and some people said something to me, and I just thought they were absolutely ridiculous, and I could have cared less. my parents tried to explain that to me. So, you know, this culture has been... I mean, there are people older than I am. I'm 70, but there are people way older than I am that have experienced this much more firsthand. But what I've observed living here in Mendocino County for 35 years is that, yes, there are very few people of ethnic minorities, you might say.
Yeah.
And certainly people that I would call black people. But the few that are here have been rather extraordinary and also brave, I think, because you know, you use that term redneck before.
Yeah.
And there is that mentality. So anyway, it's scary being a person of color. There was a book that came out in the 60s called Black Like Me. And it became a movie, actually. It was such a bestseller. And the man essentially dyed his pigment so that he looked like he was a black person. And his life changed dramatically. So I guess my advice to you, and it's not really meant to be advice, but I was clueless at your age, very clueless. And had love in my heart, and I had a terrible experience with a young black person who hated me and totally misjudged me and did something terrible to me. But I didn't throw hate back at him, and I spent the rest of my life, I'm a singer, so I sing songs about it, and just I do whatever I can to not pass that on.
It's
learned, like you said. You're very wise, actually, for young people who haven't had a lot of experience.
Well, thanks.
So I just encourage you to keep your minds open and observe things and certainly follow the news, not Fox.
Yeah.
And you're really on the right track, and I really appreciate your show and the dialogue.
I have a question for you, if you don't mind me asking. So do you think that sort of racism still exists today? Like, it may be not as blatant, but do you think it's still there, especially around in Mendocino County?
Oh, in Mendocino County, there are pockets.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a man named Jamal that was killed by a guy in Redwood Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't want to escalate it, and they wanted to make sure they got a conviction, so they kind of played that down so that they could get the conviction, and fearing that they would lose if it was a hate crime kind of a thing. And then there was a mentally ill man that was gunned down. He had a little knife and nothing. So, but you're definitely on the right track. And
awesome.
Thank goodness we have such good media and KZYX.
Yeah.
And,
thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your stories.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Well, that was really good. Nice lady. That was a really, really interesting story.
It was.
It really tripped me out on how he was the manager of this group and he can't go to the auditions. Like,
seriously.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how successful he is. The fact that he's...
Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that you guys have conducted a really well thought out discussion.
Awesome. Thank you.
And also kind of in line with the last caller, but not exactly. I just wanted to say that I think that when people do discuss this topic, you guys, and pretty much every other discussion I've ever heard about ethnicity, one of the things that people leave out and forget to mention is that there is a reverse racism.
Oh, yeah.
Towards white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that does exist, and we don't really talk about that so much when we bring it up. But pretending that there aren't people of other ethnicities who also, like, have biases against us and think we're a certain way because of the color of our skin also exists.
Oh, of course. It definitely goes both ways.
I agree with you. One of my friends had this huge spiel about scholarships because, we're getting ready to apply for scholarships and how there's so many for different races, but... if you're white, you can't apply for those Asian scholarships or Native American scholarships, so that's kind of racist the other way.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the examples, and there's many others. And, also with, the police or whatnot, we hear about the racially motivated shootings, but, police who are abusive, the bad ones and not the good ones, they're typically abusive to people of all types. Whether they're white, black, Mexican, or anything in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, experienced that as a white person. So,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. You guys are doing a great job.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And whenever reverse racism gets mentioned, it's always seen as of a degree lower than racism from white to black. And that's, I don't think that's the case. I think it can be... of equal intensity, for sure.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on air.
Oh, no, he's gone.
Oh,
never mind.
My bad.
Oh.
Caller, you're on air.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Is this KYZZ?
Yep. This is KZYX.
Okay, Willock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My opinion on your racism is that when you come to the United States, you become an American. You're not African American. You're not Mexican American. You're just an American. Quit using your color as a black African American. Bullshit. Ain't none of them been to Africa.
Hey, you can't swear at all, please.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Oh, it's all good. You're all good. Keep going. Oh,
sorry. But when you come to America, you come to be an American.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Oh, I totally agree with you. That's exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what color you are, what nationality, your religion, but when you come to the United States, you come to be an American.
No, yep.
Quit using your culture. You left Africa because you didn't like Africa. You left China because you didn't like China. not Chinese American. You left it because you didn't like it.
Mm.
Come to the United States, you're an American.
Yeah, some people are taken through their parents that don't have a choice, but if you're leaving for a reason like that, then yeah, I guess you could say that.
Some people also come to bring their cultures, and there's a lot of integrated cultures in America too, or United States.
Well I agree.
Yeah.
Don't use your race, say that I'm African American. Hold on, you've never been to Africa.
True.
Or you're, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's more like a heritage thing, and not so much a...
Yeah, for example, if somebody identifies themselves as African American, they may identify themselves as an American in the way that you're describing it. They identify with this nationality very strongly, but okay. The society...
Well, should I say that I'm from Scotland? I'm Scottish American.
If you want to,
you can. Yeah. If your heritage,
you could. If you want to,
if you're in with your roots,
and you could also strongly identify with America as a country and a nationality, and be a patriot at the same time.
I just want to become the United States, this country that's become.
Mm-hmm.
You're an American.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Quit using your culture from somewhere else.
Yeah, okay.
Believe in our culture here in United States.
Thank you for your opinion.
All right, yeah, thank you for calling in.
All right, gentlemen, have a good day.
Yeah,
thank you
too.
You too.
Well,
quite interesting.
Everyone remember, we can't swear at all. That's no. It's bad.
Absolutely.
I think we have a little more time.
Oh.
Or, yeah, okay. Caller, you're on the air, but we got to go. Make it quick.
All right. I wanted to tell you about a book. It's called Doing Race.
What was it called again?
Doing Race.
Doing Race, okay.
Yeah, and it's written by Hazel Rose Marcus and Paula M. L. Moya. And it's an excellent book. I'm just going to read you one little sentence here. Contrary to what most people believe, race and ethnicity are not things that people have or are. Rather, they are actions that people do. So this is part of a class that I'm taking at Mendocino Community College, and I urge you to look into it if you're interested in talking about it more, because the classroom is a safe environment.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Talk about
definitely.
That's cool. What class are you taking, if you don't mind me asking?
It's called Racial and Ethnic Relations. It's a sociology class.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you. We'll check it out. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Bye. All right. That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Garrett Vincent.
Me, Jaden Losey.
And me, Shivam Patel.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy through our organization and coalition with our working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8049 or email jama@jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of KZYXNZ. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks. That is November 1st at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again in November.